Charlie Gordon has always wanted to be smart. At 32, with an IQ of 68, he works sweeping floors at Donner's Bakery and attends classes for adults with intellectual disabilities. When researchers select him for an experimental surgery that might triple his intelligence, a procedure previously successful only with a mouse named Algernon, Charlie jumps at the chance. His motivation runs deeper than simple curiosity. He wants friends who don't mock him behind his back. He wants to understand the world around him. Most of all, he wants to be normal. The early progress reports Charlie writes reveal both his limitations and his humanity. His childlike eagerness shines through misspelled words. "I hope they use me because Miss Kinnean says maybe they can make me smart. I want to be smart." These reports become our window into Charlie's mind as it transforms from simplicity to brilliance and back again, creating one of literature's most intimate portraits of consciousness itself. What would it be like to suddenly understand everything you couldn't grasp before? To realize that people you thought were friends were actually laughing at you? Charlie's journey forces us to reconsider what intelligence really means, and whether being smart necessarily makes life better. Charlie's transformation begins with improved spelling and complex sentences. He starts beating Algernon in maze races. But his intellectual growth reveals painful truths. His coworkers were laughing at him, not with him. Pulling a Charlie Gordon meant making a stupid mistake. This wounds him. "I never knew before that Joe and Frank and the others liked to have me around just to make fun of me." Despite his IQ soaring past 150, Charlie's emotional development lags. He masters academic subjects while romantic relationships remain confusing. His feelings for Alice Kinnean deepen, but intimacy triggers childhood trauma he's only beginning to uncover. Charlie grows disillusioned with Professor Niemer and Dr. Strauss, seeing their limitations and how they treat him as a specimen. At a scientific conference, he rebels, stealing Algernon and escaping. Charlie's awakening shows that knowledge brings power, but also pain, sometimes at the cost of belonging. As Charlie's intelligence peaks, childhood memories emerge clearly. His mother Rose's obsession with making him normal included beatings, visits to quack doctors, and eventually committing him to Warren State Home, the same fate he now faces as his intelligence declines. One haunting memory shows Rose threatening Charlie with a knife after catching him innocently touching his sister. "I'll put you away in a cage like an animal." These traumas explain his panic attacks during intimate moments with Alice. His body remembers what his mind forgot. Charlie's father provided rare tenderness, defending him against Rose and introducing him to the bakery where he would later work. "You got a right to be what you are. You shouldn't be ashamed." Yet even this protection couldn't prevent institutionalization. Through therapy, Charlie confronts these memories and understands how they've shaped him. He realizes his mother's rejection stemmed from her own fears about having a child who didn't meet societal expectations, bringing not just pain, but the beginning of self-compassion. At his intellectual zenith, Charlie makes a devastating discovery when Algernon begins showing erratic behavior, refusing mazes, becoming aggressive, then lethargic. Charlie's frantic research reveals that artificially enhanced intelligence is temporary, with greater enhancement leading to more dramatic regression. Charlie names this the Algernon-Gordon effect, presenting his findings clinically. The more rapid the cognitive improvement, the more pronounced the eventual deterioration. He's not just documenting Algernon's fate, but predicting his own. When Algernon dies, Charlie buries him with wildflowers, acknowledging their shared destiny. The mouse's death makes Charlie's future terrifyingly concrete. As regression begins, Charlie experiences the cruel irony of watching his own decline with full awareness. Books become meaningless, languages fade, and his coordination deteriorates. Yet amid this loss, Charlie achieves a wisdom that transcends intellect, acceptance of his fate, and gratitude for his brief glimpse of a wider world. Charlie's regression accelerates as predicted. He returns to Donner's Bakery, where Mr. Donner compassionately rehires him. His former tormentors now protect him from mockery, creating a poignant symmetry. Charlie has come full circle, but others now see him as deserving respect rather than an object of ridicule. Alice visits for a tender moment of connection. Charlie, aware of his fate, sends her away. "I'm glad I got a second chance in life to be smart, because I learned a lot of things that I never knew were in this world, and I'm grateful I saw it all, even for a little bit." Charlie enters Warren State Home rather than burden others. His final progress report returns to misspellings and simple sentences, yet contains wisdom. "If you ever read this, Miss Kenyon, don't be sorry for me. I'm glad I got a second chance in life, like you said, to be smart, because I learned a lot of things that I never even knew were in this world, and I'm grateful I saw it all." Charlie's journey reveals that dignity comes not from intelligence, but from facing limitations with grace. As Charlie prepares to enter Warren State Home, he leaves two simple requests. "Please put some flowers on Algernon's grave in the backyard. And tell Dr. Strauss and Prof. Nimmer not to feel bad because they didn't do nothing wrong." These wishes reveal Charlie's decency despite his impending decline. The title works on multiple levels. Literally, it's Charlie's tender gesture honoring the mouse whose fate foreshadowed his own. Symbolically, these flowers represent remembrance for a sacrifice that advanced knowledge and the brief beauty of consciousness before fading. Keyes challenges conventional notions of intelligence, showing that IQ alone doesn't determine human value or happiness. Charlie gains knowledge but loses his former self's simple joy. Charlie's intellectual growth outpaces his emotional development, creating painful disconnects. Only facing his decline does he achieve wisdom that transcends intellect, accepting limitations and finding gratitude for his glimpse of a wider world. Flowers for Algernon reminds us that humanity lies in our connections to others and finding meaning in both joy and suffering. What makes us human? Charlie's journey forces us to confront this fundamental question without easy answers. In the 1960s setting, Charlie was treated as less than human, mocked by coworkers, rejected by his mother, and labeled a specimen. Yet he always possessed truly human qualities, curiosity, desire for connection, and capacity for joy and suffering. At his intellectual peak, Charlie discovers extreme intelligence can be equally isolating. Intelligence without the ability to give and receive affection leads to mental breakdown. Despite academic brilliance, he struggles with the emotional connections that give life meaning. The novel's structure creates intimacy between reader and protagonist as we witness his transformation through his evolving writing. In our era of AI and genetic engineering, the novel's ethical questions grow increasingly relevant. Charlie's story suggests our humanity lies not in intellectual capacity, but in our capacity for connection. His request to place flowers on Algernon's grave contains more wisdom than all his scientific papers.